بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وبعد. Now, it's always been a rule in my life to never ever to respond to stupidity and somebody's schizophrenic leanings. But today, inshallah, unfortunately, mashallah, this is what Allah has written. So today I break that rule and I respond to stupidity. And it's only for fear that a lot of the Muslims might take this stupidity and understand it in a way that it's not supposed to be understood, or actually believe the lies of this individual that keeps spewing this foolishness. So the issue today that we're going to talk about is about the issue of, is it permissible to kill the Khawarij? All right. Is their blood halal? Are they Muslims or not? Are they not Muslims? So to be fair, there are probably more than 20 different groups from amongst the Khawarij. All right, the Khawarij, they started off with a group, it's called Al-Hururiya. And of course, this came in the hadith of Aisha, radiallahu anha, when a woman came to her and she was asking her in regards to the ha'id. And she said, مَا بَالِ الْحَائِضِ تَقْضِيَ الصِّيَامِ وَلَا تَقْضِيَ الصَّلَاةِ. So she said, what is the deal with the menstruating woman, that she makes up the prayer, she makes up the fasting, but she doesn't make up the prayer. So Aisha, radiallahu anha, she responded to her and she said, أَحُرُورِيَةٌ أَنْتِ. And she said, Alastu biharuriya. Now, of course, al-haruriya is referring to the Khawarij. So because of the woman asking this question in the way that she was asking it, because this was from the characteristics of the Khawarij, she asked her, she said, Ahururiya tun anti. She said, are you from the Hururiya? And of course, this is from the village of Harura, which is the village that the Khawarij, they came out of. So when she asked her this statement, we understand, because of course, out of all the females from all the Sahaba, and I mean, Aisha radiallahu anha is considered one of the most knowledgeable of the Sahaba. Not only is she considered the most knowledgeable female, but she's also considered one of the most knowledgeable Sahaba. And her saying this because of this woman asking in the manner that she was asking the question. And she said, Haruriyatun anti. And the woman said, she responded, she said, La, lastu bi haruriyah, walakin asal. She said, no, I'm not from the Haruriya. I'm not from the Khawarij. I'm just asking. I'm trying to know. So we understand that even the Sahaba, if people came with certain characteristics, what did she ask her? She asked her, are you Haruriya? Now, what about a person now who constantly speaks, you know, makes his dawah now, his actual dawah has become speaking about the rulers. Do we not sit here and also ask this person a similar question? Do we not say, are you from the Khawarij? Are you, because you're showing the biggest signs of the Khawarij, which is like calling the people to Kharuj. Now, the issue is about the Khawarij, are they Muslim or not, are they not Muslim? Now, again, like I said, there are about 20, more than 20 groups of the different factions of the Khawarij. And from amongst these factions, there are people that have done bid'ah that some of the ulama has caused the ulama to make takfir of them. But when we talk about the Khawarij, as far as like, especially the Hururiya are the people that left out in the beginning of Islam. And these are the people that made takfir of Uthman and they killed Uthman. They made takfir of Ali, radiallahu anhuma, and they killed Ali. All right. These are called the Hururiya. And then you had the Azariqah, which were also more just as evil. All right. As far as their destruction and killing of the Muslims, but nobody from amongst the Sahaba made takfir of them. Nobody made takfir of them, and they still gave them the rights of a Muslim. And the rights of a Muslim, for the people that don't understand, is that it came in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abi Huraira radhiyallahu anhu, and I'm not going to go over the whole hadith, but I will go over the last part of the hadith. He said, "Kul al-Muslimi ala Muslimi haram, dammuhu wa ma'aluhu wa irduhu." And this hadith, like I said, is in Sahih Muslim, it's on Abi Huraira radhiyallahu anhu. So he said, "Kul al-Muslimi ala al-Muslimi haram." Dammuhu wa ma'aluhu wa irduhu. So that means that his blood is not halal, nor does the blood of a Muslim ever become lawful. It doesn't matter what type of nonsense the person spews on social media, as long as his nonsense does not take him out of Islam. Now, if his nonsense takes him out of Islam, this affair goes back to the person in authority. This does not go back to every person walking the streets to go up and say, oh, now his blood is halal. His blood is not halal for the people to spill. He's a Muslim. Daniel is still a Muslim. He still has the rights of a Muslim. He's just a very, very misguided individual. So nobody is going to sit there and call the people to take the rights of his Islam away from him. Nobody is doing that. But what we are going to continue to warn against is his number one, his two-facing, like his two-faced way, like where he gets up in front of the people and plays the victim. But then on, you know, on his Telegram, and if you go and follow his social media, then what do you see? You see all types of chaos, just constantly talking about the ulama, talking about the umara. And of course, we understand. And he says, oh, well, in regards to this, what I'm just doing in Qara Namunkar, like the Sahabi. You're not Sahabi. You're not Sheikh Al-Albani. You're not Sheikh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And you're not Imam Ahmed. So don't even compare yourself to these individuals. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَأَطِيُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولُ وَأُولُوا الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. The أُولُوا الْأَمْرِ, يَا أَخِي, is the umara, with the ulama, and the ulama. And this is very clear throughout the tafsir, and you can go and review Tafsir al-Taburi for the people that don't, because he broke down the statements, he broke down both statements of the ulama that said that this, the ulul amr, it goes back to the ulama, it goes back to the umara wal ulama. So the ulama, they have a right to make inkar on the munkar publicly if there's a need for it. If there's no need and it can cause chaos, then they stay quiet as far as the Muslim ruler is concerned. And if it's the Muslim ruler that is calling to that bid'ah, then it's a lot different than, of course, the person who is just like the bid'ah is happening in the country under his watch. Then we make inkar on the issue. So as far as like the ruler actually calling to something, then the ulama, if they want to go and they make inkar on because they feel that there's not going to cause the people to make kharuj. Sheikh Mubarak Rahimullah, he used to make inkar on Ali Abdullah Saleh, but they had a mutual understanding. And Ali Abdullah Saleh, he supported the da'wah of Sheikh Mubil, and he wouldn't take those types of things personal, nor did the people see that Sheikh Mubil was calling to kharuj, ever, never. And Ali Abdullah Saleh respected Sheikh Mubil for his advice to him. And he never, ever, ever disrespected Sheikh Mubil for giving him that type of advice. So this is the understanding, and it's from the ulama. And even the ulama, they have when we talk about what is the better thing to do, the better thing is to sit amongst with the ruler and advise him in private, obviously. But if the fasad has become muntashir and a person has no choice, but again, if it's going to cause a greater harm, then you just make inkar on the munkar. And why, you don't have to mention the ruler's name if there's no benefit. And also if it's going to cause a harm. That's one issue. The issue now, going back to the main issue, is the issue about the blood. And this is the issue that we want to deal with. And that's why here, you see, I got the explanation of Sahih Muslim. And this is the hadith right now. And we're going to go over the hadith and the explanation of Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah. So it said, Bab at-tahridi ala qatl al-khawarij. Now, to clarify something for our schizophrenic friend, because he doesn't seem to understand something, because in his video, he said, Al-Imam Muslim said, and he quoted the chapter headings. Well, ya akhi, the chapter headings are from Al-Imam Nawawi. They're not from Al-Imam Muslim. So first off, get your information correct. And the fact that you didn't even understand this most basic, simple understanding of Sahih Muslim, it goes back to show that you have not studied this religion at all. Nor do you have the authority to be using these types of hadith and quoting them. Because now you're saying Al-Imam Muslim said something, and then you quoted the chapter headings. The chapter headings are from Al-Imam Nawawi, they're not from Muslim. When Al-Imam Muslim, he wrote his Sahih, he wrote it and he only put in the kitab kedha. He did not put in the chapter headings. Instead, he put the hadith in such a tartib, in such an order that it's very clear to understand what issue he's dealing with, because he put all the hadith together. He did not do like Imam al-Bukhari. Imam al-Bukhari, he basically, what he did is he broke the hadith up into the parts and put them under the chapter heading that dealt with that part of the hadith. Whereas Imam Muslim, he will bring the whole narration together as much as he could without trying. He didn't want to repeat the hadith in different parts of the book. He wanted to have them all together. So that's why he didn't put any chapter headings. So remember that. Because that's a very, very simple thing that you study when you study hadith, is that these chapter headings are from Al-Imam al-Nawawi. So, قال الإمام النووي رحمه الله باب التحريضي على قتل الخوارج. So he's talking about the motivation and encouraging the people to kill the Khawarij. Now, under what condition? Now, let's look at the hadith, all right? There's a certain language of the hadith that certain people, they don't seem to understand. So he said, حدثنا محمد بن عبد الله بن نمير وعبد الله بن سعيد الأشج جميعا عن وكيع قال الأشج حدثنا وكيع حدثنا العمش عن خيثمة عن سويد بن غفلة قال قال علي إذا حدثتكم عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلين أخر من السماء أحب إلي من أن أقول عليه ما لم يقل وإذا حدثتكم فيما بيني وبينكم فإن الحرب خدع. Now خدع, you have خدع, you have خدع, and you have خدع, خدع, and خدع. On all of these lugat are correct. So a lot of the different narrations, you'll see it narrated as خدع, and the other narrations, you see it as خدع and خدع. But all of these languages are correct in the Arabic language. So فإن الحرب خدع. سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول سيخرج في آخر الزمان قوم أحداث الأسنان سفهاء الأحلام يقولون من خير قول البرية يقرؤون القرآن لا يجاوزوا حناجرهم يمرقون من الدين كما يمرق السحم من الرمية فإذا لقيتموهم فاقتلوهم فإن في قتلهم أجرا لمن قتلهم عند الله يوم القيامة. Alright, so let's go over this hadith. Alright, and the main thing that I want you to focus on, alright, first off, Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, if I speak to you about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you know, to be thrown from the sky to the earth is better for me than to say about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he has not said. But he said, if I speak to you between us about, you know, personal issues, personal things, he said, فَإِنَّ الْحَرْبُ خِدَعٌ. And of course, you know, Ali radiallahu anhu is involved in fighting at this time. So al-harb khida. Al-harb khida is that the war is deception. And then it's permissible to use a form of prevarication in the times of warfare. Now, when we talk about the three times that it's permissible to lie, it does not mean an actual lie. Because it's never permissible for a Muslim to tell a blatant lie. All right. But you can use forms of prevarication. Like, for example, if your wife were to come up to you and say, what do you think about this dress? And you say, oh, the dress is beautiful. Even if you hate it, but it's beautiful for her. You understand? It's beautiful for you, or it's beautiful on you. But you have this form of prevarication, which is you're saying things without you getting the person to understand the opposite of what you actually mean. Like, you have a meaning, but they have a different understanding. And this is called prevarication. And this is only permissible in those three scenarios that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. And warfare is one of those scenarios. So to use this type of form of prevarication where you fool and deceive the enemy into thinking other than what your actual intentions are, then this, of course, falls into that permissibility. So he said, then he said, فَإِنَّ الْحَرْبَ الْخُدَعَ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So he said, I heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, سَيَخْرُجُ فِي أَخْرِ الزَّمَانِ. So these people, in the last days, there's going to come a people, قَوْمٌ أَحْدَاثُ الْأَسْنَانِ. So Imam An-Nawawi here, he said, أحداث الأسنان سفهاء الأحلام. So these two characteristics that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم described these people with, he said, معناه صغار الأسنان صغار الأقول. He says صغار الأسنان, so they're going to be young in their age with صغار الأقول, and they're going to be immature in their mentality. And of course, we can see that type of immaturity when we're dealing with issues of the religion, and the type of immaturity that these type of khawarij, they constantly present on social media, where they choose to go around and call people bootlickers, and all they want to do is get into like elementary school name calling and all these types of foolishness. So we see the sufaha al-ahlam, we see the sagar al-aqul amongst them, Allahumma musta'an, with this elementary type behavior. Because whenever you're trying to deal with hujjahs, they don't want to deal with hujjahs, they don't want to address the issues, they want to try to like twist the truth and bend the truth. And then if they can't do that, then they just resort to name calling. And we know when people resort to name calling that they've come to the end of their the end of the line as far as their evidence is concerned, and they have no more evidence. So Allah musta'an. So he said, ma'nahu sighar al-asnan sighar al-aqul qawluhu sallallahu alayhi wasallam yaquluna min khayri qawli al-bariyah. He said, qala al-Imam Nawawi about this part of the hadith, he said, ma'nahu fi dhahir al-amr. So they only speak about the surface. They only touch the surface of all these issues. Because they themselves, they have never, ever actually studied the religion. So if you go through and you do a background check on all these individuals on YouTube, the people that are running around and defending each other, this whole little group of people, these individuals, you'll notice that they all have one common denominator, and it's the lack of knowledge. It's the lack of knowledge and the lack of actually going out and seeking knowledge. Now, sitting in an Islamic center, studying with a Khariji Sheikh or in a city in America is not considered Talib al-Ilm. Talib al-Ilm now is where you actually go out and you seek proper knowledge of the religion. And this is something that this is from the Tariq of the Salaf. It's something that, alhamdulillah, this is something that has been the main thing that has caused this religion to be saved, as you see, where we still have all the information we have. We didn't have the people going out and seeking this knowledge of hadith and seeking, and also not just the knowledge of hadith, but the tafsir of the Quran. And then once all of the other sciences were compiled with the Usul al-Fiqh and Musala hadith, and also when fiqh itself was, you know, taught as a specific subject, because they started to take the masail al-fiqhiyah from the hadith and then put that into books, and then they started teaching these masail. And all of this, you see that the ulama, they traveled vast from land to land to land, seeking this knowledge. And alhamdulillah, and that, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is how you see the preservation of this knowledge. So this is this knowledge has been preserved through our ulama, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through this transmission of knowledge. But these people, they have not done that. They sit in the West, they read a couple books, and then all of a sudden they consider themselves, and they put themselves on the same level as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and Imam Ahmed, whereas they say that it's permissible for them now to talk about all these different types of issues as if they have the authority, as if they studied. Whereas the people who actually study, they shy away from these issues. And they only speak about these issues when it's absolutely necessary. Especially these issues when it's in regards to the rulers, you do not see the people speaking about them. We advise the people with patience, because that's what Islam is about. So here he said, فِي ظَاهِرَ الْأَمْرِ. So they only speak on the surface, and this is because of, obviously, their lack of knowledge. They're not able to go into detail about any of these subject matters. They can sit here and quote all this stuff about, like, okay, Imam Ibn Hazm said this, and, you know, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said this. Have they ever sat down and read the Majmu' al-Fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah? Could they understand it if I presented it to them right now, the majority of these people on YouTube? More than likely not. Have they actually read any of the books from Ibn Hazm? Have they read Al-Muhalla? Have they read Maratib al-Ijma'? Have they read Al-Ihkam, Fi Usul al-Ihkam? Have they read any of these books by Ibn Hazm to be running around quoting Ibn Hazm? Or did they just cherry pick certain things that they feel that agree with their manhaj, and then they leave off every single thing else? They leave off everything else. So out of all the ahadith that we have in the tafsir of the Salaf about the obedience to the ruler, they leave that off, and then they just go and say, well, Ibn Hazm said this. Ibn Hazm. So you take Ibn Hazm's statement over the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is knowledge. No, this is YouTube knowledge. And this is, like I said, this is cherry picking. This is where people that are trying to find anything to support their erroneous beliefs, their misguided beliefs, that don't go back to the Salaf. If you have beliefs that go back to the Salaf, quote the Salaf. Quote the Salaf. Show us where the Salaf now made it permissible to run out and speak about the ruler. Now, when we're talking about Hajj and we're talking about practicing the religion, you gave examples about the Salaf speaking out against the ruler. And again, the Salaf, they were ulama, and they were considered people of authority. And they had that authority to speak. You don't. So get back in your lane. Allahumma musta'an. So he said, ma'anahu bi dhahir al-amr, ka qawlihim la hukma illa lillah. Oh, this sounds familiar, doesn't it? So Imam Nawawi said, he's talking about the Khawarij. He said, their understanding of la hukm illa lillah. Doesn't that sound familiar? Sounds like what we've been talking about this whole time, right? Sounds like a video that Sajid, and the first video that he refuted, which was a Riyadh. Wasn't he saying similar to this? Wasn't that the whole issue? Allahumma musta'an. So this is like something that the ulama from before are talking about and warning against, right? So he said, well, nadha'irahu min du'a'ihim ila kitabillahi ta'ala, because they call to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under their understanding. So when they talk about, for example, the ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, they talk about, you know, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. So why don't we talk about the issue here? And why don't we talk about here, when does this apply? When does a person become a kafir? When does it become a dhalim? And when does it become a fasiq? And if we say, okay, does this kufr right here, is this kufr mukhraj min al-millah? Or is this kufr bihukmihi, which is kufr duna kufr? And what did the Salaf say about this ayah? Did the Salaf make blanket takfir of the person, either hakama bighayri ma anzalallah? I don't know, because that's not, if you go back and read the tafsir, tafsir ibn Kathir, tafsir ibn Jarir, you don't find that, do you? You don't find that. You find the exact opposite. You find that they say kufr duna kufr. And that's a statement of Tawus and others from amongst the Tabi'in. And also, it is a statement that is attributed to Ibn Abbas, and some of the ulama do see that statement as being authentic. Wallahu a'lam. But at the very least, it is attributed to others amongst the Tabi'in. All right. So, and you don't find any statement from the, go find a statement from the Salaf, and don't bring me a book. Don't bring me a quote from Ibn Hazm, and you don't even know which book it's in. So he said, Now, this part of the hadith I want you to focus on. You see, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِذَا لَقِيْتُمُوهُمْ فَاقْتُلُوهُمْ. Oh, so Mr. Schizophrenia, I ask you a question. اللقي هنا ما معناه؟ ما معنى إذا لقيتموهم؟ Are we talking about a لقي here, that when you meet them at a McDonald's, when you see them in the souk? Is this the لقي here that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is talking about? Or is he talking about اللقاء في المعركة? Is he talking about if you see them on the battlefield? That means that when they raise arms against the Wali al-Amr, and they have raised an army, and they have actually gone into actual physical rebellion, that their rebellion has gone past their tongues. They call them past their tongues, because it always, like, the rebellion, it starts in three stages. Number one, it starts with the aqidah. They no longer see the rights of the Wali al-Amr, and they see that rebellion is permissible. That's where it starts. That's the fountain right there. And then it comes out on their tongues, like the guy that went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "I'dal ya Muhammad, fa'innaka lam ta'dil." Did he not make khuruj bil lisan? Was that not khuruj bil lisan? Was that not wadih? And didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "Yakhruju min dhi'i hadha man yaqra'u al-Quran wa la yujawiz hanajirhum," just like in this hadith? Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about that? "Yakhruju min dhi'i hadha bisabab hadha." What did he do? Did he make physical khuruj, or did he just make khuruj bil lisan? He went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "I'dil ya Muhammad, fa'innaka lam ta'dil." Is that not khuruj? So the khuruj starts with the aqidah, fasida, and then it comes out on the tongues, and then that encouragement amongst the people until they take up arms. Now, once they take up arms and, like, physically fight against the Muslim government, this is where this hadith applies. This hadith applies, فَإِذَا لَقِيْتُمُوهُمْ. اللقاء هنا, اللقي, is what? Is on the battlefield. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا تَتَمَنَّوْا لِقَاء الْعَدُوِ. لِقَاء. Because the word لِقَاء here is always, you see it used a lot in the Arabic language for battle, when they take up arms and they're physically fighting. And we'll get back to this in a minute. So he said, and then let's see what Imam Nawawi said. He said, فَإِذَا لَقِيْتَمُوهُمْ فَاقْتَلُوهُمْ فَإِنَّ فِي قَتَلِهِمْ أَجْرًا. So there's, and killing them is a reward. He said, هَذَا تَصْرِيحٌ بِوَجُوبِ قِتَالِ الْخَوَارِجِ وَالْبُغَى. So you see that Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, he groups the Khawarij with the Bugha, because the Qital, the fighting and the killing of the Khawarij, it falls under the understanding of the Qital of the Bugha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبَغِي هَتَّ تَفِيَّ إِلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. So this is the understanding, that whenever you have two factions amongst the Muslims fighting, and then you come in and you try to solve. And we're talking about fighting. We're not talking about exchanging words. We're talking about actual fighting, physical fighting. They've now got weapons and they are fighting. And then you go and you try to make sulh. You try to make peace between them. فَنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَهُمَا. Like, this group doesn't want to accept the peace, and they transgress against the other group. فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبَغِي. Then fight the one that transgressed physically, not verbally. We don't go around killing people because of words they say. This is not the meaning of the hadith, and this is not the understanding of the salaf. But this is just the misrepresentation of this speech by a person who does not understand what he's talking about. So he said, وَهُوَ إِجْمَعُ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And the إِجْمَعُ الْعُلَمَاءِ عَلَى قَتْلِ الْبُغَاءِ إِذَا خَرَجُوا. All right, so against the transgressors, if they... And you're going to see, as he's going to bring the statement of Al-Qadhi Iyad right now, inshallah. He said, أجمع العلماء على أن الخوارج وأشباههم من أهل البدع والبغي متى خرجوا على الإمام وخالفوا رأي الجماعة وشقوا الأصابع وجب قتالهم. So this is a statement of al-Qadhi, al-Qadhi Iyad. Whenever he says call al-Qadhi, it means Qadhi al-Iyad. So he said, أجمع العلماء. So there's a consensus amongst the ulama that the خوارج وأشباههم, and those groups similar to the خوارج, من أهل البدع, from the people of innovation, والبغي, and the people of transgression, متى خرجوا, when they go, and they now, they خرجوا, now they have actually formed a physical, actual rebellion against the imam, against fight, now they're fighting, وخالفوا رأي الجماعة, and they've gone against the consensus of the Muslims, that we don't make خروج on him because he's not, you know, he hasn't done anything from كفر بواح. So he said, رأي الجماعة وشق الأصا, and if they've gone against the obedience, At that point, it becomes obligatory to fight them, because now this is a battlefield. This is different. Then he said, "Ba'da indharihim," after warning them, "wal'tidhar ilayhim," and also trying to excuse them. So the point is that the killing of them, even when they've taken up arms against the Muslim government, the killing of them is not the first option. The first option is to go and sit down with them and to warn them, to bring them back to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, and to try to excuse them as much as possible. But once that becomes no longer possible and they have started to shed the blood of the Muslims, now it becomes obligatory upon the people to stop their transgression. And if stopping their transgression at that point of them shedding the Muslim blood, it means killing them, then that's what is being talked about. And then, of course, Imam Nawawi is going to speak. He's going to bring the statement about the person who's just running his mouth. What? How do you deal with him? So he said, فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبَغِي حَتَّى تَفِيَّ إِلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. So he al-Qadi al-Iyad, he put it underneath the ayat because he's dealing with them as bugha. Alright, so they're not being killed out of takfir, out of kufr. They're being fought against because they are transgressors and they are shedding the blood of Muslims in their transgression. So their transgression is to be stopped. But they still have the rights of a Muslim, as we're going to see in a minute. Inshallah. He said, لَكِنْ لَا يُجْهَزُوا عَلَى جَرِيْهِهِمْ وَلَا يُتْبَعُوا مُنْهَزِمُهُمْ وَلَا يُقْتَلُوا أَسِيرُهُمْ وَلَا تُبَاهُوا أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَمَا لَمْ يَخْرُجُوا عَنِ الطَّاعَةِ وَيَنْتَصِبُوا لِلْحَرْبِ لَا يُقَاتَلُونَ بَلْ يُعَذُونَ وَيُسْتَتَابُونَ مِنْ بِدَعَتِهِمْ وَبَاطِلِهِمْ. Oh, this is very interesting, right? So he said, here you have different scenarios because they have the rights of a Muslim. So any of their people that are injured in battle, you don't go and finalize the killing of them. You leave them and you will get them medical attention. They're Muslims. They still have rights upon you, even though they're misguided and even though they're transgressors, they are still Muslims and they still have rights over you. All right. So you still have to like make sure that they're attended to and they're cared for. You don't just walk up to them and just stab them and say, okay, we're done away with. No. If he's injured in the battle and the fighting, you get him medical attention. And you make sure, or if the people are coming to give him medical attention, you leave them and allow them to attend to him. Okay? So he said, and then he went off and said, وَلَا يُتْبَعُوا مُنْهَزِمُهُمْ. If a group from amongst them, after they've been defeated, they try to run away, it's from our religion, from the understanding of the Salaf, that we open up a path and allow them to escape. Because we don't, obviously you don't want to kill a Muslim. The killing is the final option, of course, and this is after they're shedding the blood of the Muslims. So you give them that way out and give them that escape with hope that inshallah that they will return to obedience. وَلَا يُقْتَلُوا أَسِيرُهُمْ. And the captives, any captives that you've taken from amongst them, they're not to be killed. And of course, as Muslims, we don't mistreat any captives, but it is not permissible under any circumstances that you kill a captive from amongst the Khawarij, because they still have the rights of a Muslim. You take them as captives, you give them advice, and you send them back on their merry way. That's it. All right. Now he said, "Wala tubahu amwalahum," and their money never becomes permissible. It's not permissible to take their money or take any of their wealth. Now, and he said, "Wama lam yakhruju an ta'a." And he said, as long as they don't actually go out of disobedience. Now they're just talking. They're up on social media, running their mouths. The rulers this and the rulers this, but they haven't actually taken up arms against any Islamic government, nor have they called the people. But their rhetoric is leading in that direction. Right, it's leading in that direction and it's causing fear that one day it could lead to that, because that's what history shows us, right? So the point is how do we deal with this person? So al-Qadi Iyad rahimahullah, he said, wama lam yakhruju an ta'ati wa yantasibu lil harb. So they haven't, you know, they're not in war. They haven't like brought up the flags of war and gotten ready for battle. They're just talking, right? He said, "La yuqatalun." He said, "These people, you don't fight against them." "La yuqatalun." "La yuqatalun." Is that clear? La here, the nephew, the negation here, is that very clear for these schizophrenic people that just think that everybody's out to get them? Allahumma ista'an. "La yuqatalun, bal yu'adun wa yustatabun." Yu'adun, that you preach to them, that you try to give them advice and you try to get them to come back to the understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Salaf al-Saleh. We used to taboon, and that you also completely you try to seek that they make tawbah. Used to taboon. Well, and bidatihim, from their innovation and their misguidance. So this is very clear. And like I said, this is this right here for anybody that wants to check. The Sharh, this is the explanation. Sahih Muslim. The hadith number is 1066. The Bab of Imam Nawawi is Bab At-Tahridi ala Qatl al-Khawarij. And you can read this for yourselves. And this is the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That the Khawarij, they still have the Hukum of Islam. And since they have the Hukum of Islam, it is not permissible to kill them. So these misguided fools on social media can stop with this foolish claim and saying that the people... See, sometimes people don't respond to you because what you're saying is so stupid that nobody, like, is so laughable. Why would anybody respond? And that's number one. And number two, we're not at your discretion. Yeah, jahil. You have to understand one thing. You know, you have brothers that actually went out and studied this religion and put in a lot of work trying to learn the religion. You haven't. So we're not at your discretion to answer your questions and your talabat and all this type of stuff because you're ignorant. And in the grand scheme of things, akhi, you know, you're insignificant. You're insignificant on a deen level as far as like knowledge because you have no knowledge. You're not known amongst the people of knowledge. You're not known amongst the tulab al-ilm and you're not known amongst the circles of knowledge. So even whatever you say about the religion is insignificant. And that's how the people should understand it. You're on the internet voicing your opinions. And you're insignificant on a world stage level as far as international politics. Nobody cares what you say. So the point is that you actually think that we have to constantly respond and respond. Nobody has to respond to you. No, Sajid doesn't have to respond to you. None of these brothers have to respond to you. Because who are you? You know, so this is just a part of your arrogance that you constantly think that everybody has to answer your questions. Nobody has to answer anything. The only thing that we have to do is call the people to what they're created to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wa ma khalaqatul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun." So since we're created for ibadah, the only obligation upon us is to call the people to do that, to follow the Quran and the Sunnah and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way that He has ordered us to worship Him. Because the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the most important rights on this earth. And the biggest transgression on this earth is that the person transgresses against the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has over us. And that all of that was clear in the hadith of Mu'adh when he said, "Kuntu radif an Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala himar, faqala li ya Mu'adh, atadri ma haqqullahi ala al-ibadi wa ma haqqul ibadi ala Allah, kuntu Allah wa rasuluhu alam, qala haqqul ibadi ala haqqullahi ala ibadi an ya'buduhu wa la yushriku bi shay'in, wa haqqul ibadi ala Allah an la yu'adhibu man la yushriku bi shay'in, kuntu ya Rasulullah, afala ubashshiru an-nas, qala la tubashshirhum fayattaqilu." And this hadith is muttafaqun alayh an Mu'adh. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Do you know the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has over his servants, and the rights that the servant have with Allah?" Now, of course, when we talk about the rights that the servant has with Allah, these are rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on himself. Because the servant does not have any rights with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's provided everything. Even our guidance is a hiba from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have to be thankful for. And our thankfulness is also a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in reality, we have no rights, but these are rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on himself, that if the servant obeys him in these things, in this thing, that this is what he will give him. So he said, what are the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have over, and ya'buduhu wa la yushriku bi shay'in, and to worship him alone, and la yushriku bi shay'in, because the shirk is the biggest oppression on this earth. All right. This is the biggest oppression. This is the biggest transgression. See, you guys are so concerned about the rights of people and this individual, but you forget, we call first the tawheed. We deal with first the people, fulfilling the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has over us. And this is our wajib. Our wajib is not to answer your questions in order to deal with you in any type of way. Because like I said, in the grand scheme of things, you're very, very insignificant. But what we are afraid of is we're afraid of the people getting duped by your misguidance and your misinformation and your misunderstanding of a religion that you never even studied. Wa ilahuna subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma thabbitna. Allahumma thabbitna.